Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Alternative Vegan Podcast. It's finally reached above the freezing temperature here in New York, so I decided to celebrate by updating you guys on what's going on with my life and maybe talk a little bit about food and just generally catch everybody up on where I've been, what I've been doing. I'm searching for work, so if anybody in the New York City area has a job either in, an office manager position, you know, where I'm keeping track of the inventory for the office and maybe the QuickBooks and doing that sort of thing, let me know. Or if you want a receptionist or a secretary or a personal assistant or whatever, let me know, because I could really use the work. I haven't had work since last January, and my bank account is really weeping. So anybody in the New York City area who has work, let me know, and I will send out my resume. It is updated. It is current. It is all good. Just don't ask me to do sales. I'm not very good at even selling my own book, so I'm not sure how good I'd be at selling other people's stuff. So on that happy note, I guess. Let's just get into a couple of things to update you on. I was working for a while in August, September, October, November, thereabouts, doing canvassing for a nonprofit organization that wanted people to register to vote. And it was a really interesting job, because initially it was going out into the streets in certain neighborhoods and, stopping people who were walking by and asking them to register to vote. And that was all right. It wasn't my favorite thing to do, but I was able to do it. The fun part was when they sent us out to neighborhoods that were low income and had a very low voter turnout in Staten Island, and had us go door to door and ask people to sign up to vote. And it was really interesting, because you had people who had never voted before, and these are grown adults who are, you know, in their 50s and their 60s, who've never voted before because they work more than one job. They're, you know, they don't have a lot of time to take out of their day to do this sort of thing. Although in the United States, your work is supposed to give you a certain amount of time to go vote, it's kind of hard to do when, say, for example, your commute to get to work is like 45 minutes to an hour, and, you know, you can't very well take your lunch break, commute for an hour back to your home place, cast your ballot, and then commute an hour back and expect to get anything done, especially if there's a crowd at the polling place. It's a little bit much to ask somebody who has a job where they're basically living paycheck to paycheck. So we're talking about people who traditionally feel like their voices are not being heard, and we were there to let them know about their options, such as getting an absentee ballot sent to their house so that they could just fill it out and send it in the post, rather than having to go to the polling place themselves. And you would be surprised as to how many people did not even know that an absentee ballot was an option. There was this lady who was in her late 60s, who had never voted a day in her life, even though she was eligible to do so, because she didn't know that she could get an absentee ballot sent to her house and just send it off from home, and still get to work on time and, you know, do everything else that she needed to do. She had never registered to vote because she didn't have time to go down to the driver's license bureau, because in New York City, most people don't own a car. Most people take public transit, whether it be at the bus or the subway or whatever else that is there. It's very unusual for people to own a car, so going to the DMV is not exactly an easy option, nor is it a feasible option for people who don't drive. So, like, half the time they didn't even know where the DMV is, much less, having the time or the desire or the effort to go. So it's almost like only in New York we bring the ballot to you door to door. You know, it's like we deliver to your front door and here you are. So this lady who signed up to vote, was extremely excited to vote through the absentee ballot. So she checked off the box in the bottom, which said that she wants an absentee ballot, and hopefully she got that ballot and she voted. So it was a really cool experience. And on the 4th of November, I actually went ahead and worked for the Department of Elections in the polling place near my home, which is right now living with my husband. It was barely a couple of blocks away, so it was a very short walking distance. However, the shift for an election worker is like 16 hours long. You're there from 5 o'clock in the morning until after the polls close at 9 p.m., so sometimes, you know, it's well possible that you're going to be there until almost 10 o'clock, counting up the ballots and making sure that everything goes according to plan. And if you haven't done it before, I would strongly encourage you to do it, just because it's a very interesting experience. I found it to be a lot of fun, oddly enough, because the people who are there are also interested in getting people to vote, and were very passionate about voters' issues and that kind of thing. So when we went through the training process for the Department of Elections job, where you're going to be a poll worker, they have procedures in place for pretty much any situation you can think of. They have assistive devices for people who need them, so you can plug in your headphones into the ballot marking device so that you can listen to the options if you can't see very well. They have large print on the ballot marking device for in case you need some, you know, in case you need it blown up for yourself. They have an option to plug in to your wheelchair in case you're paraplegic and you cannot move your hands or legs or anything else, and you can only just do the blow pipe thingy. It's got options for pretty much everything, so that you have the option to vote in private if so you choose to do so. There are, of course, people there who will help you out in feeding the ballot into the ballot marking device, or the interpreter can help you actually mark the ballot if you don't speak English, and you speak Spanish or Chinese or whatever. They'll help you do that. And it was really cool because it was like we wanted to make it accessible to everybody who wants to vote in private, and it was a really wonderful experience because the other people there were just as in the same situation as you are. It's not like you have one person who's sitting on up high in an office away from everything. Literally everybody who was there, regardless of their position, was in that same room. So we had a lot of downtime where there wasn't anybody there, and we'd already done all the tasks, such as making sure that all the signage is up where it needs to be, making sure that the accessibility is not an issue, making sure that all the papers are accounted for correctly. So we had a lot of downtime in between, so it was just time that we could sit and talk and relax and that sort of thing between, you know, people coming in. And in that time, I got to meet the other poll workers, and we had a really good time. We would all just sit around talking and laughing and having a good time. But then as soon as we would see a voter coming in, everybody went straight into business mode and was very friendly and helpful and encouraging of people being there. So it was a cool experience, and if you do get a chance to vote for your Department of to work for your Department of Elections, I would strongly suggest that you give it a shot, because they do pay you, and it takes them about a month to send out your check, but it's money in your hands, and you're ready to roll. So definitely give it a shot if you get a chance. I've been sort of in a funk because the weather has been completely below freezing for a while now. Today's the first day that it's gone above freezing, and it's raining. So I really have no desire to be outdoors, but I figure rather than sitting around and watching crap TV and feeling sorry for myself, I would reach out to you guys and let you know where the food situation is. as you know, when the bank is as low as mine is, you tend to sort of start using vegetables as frugally as possible. What I found is that I can't see myself, taking a bunch of spinach from the store and cooking it down until it shrinks down to nothing. It is such a depressing feeling when you watch all that spinach shrink down to nothing. So what I've been making as of late is this recipe called Kirakuta, and I'm sure I've mentioned it to you before, but I guess it bears repeating because it is such a delicious dish to make, and you can stretch out a small amount of greens a lot further than they normally would go if you were to just dry cook them and evaporate off all the water, or to blanch them and squeeze out all the water. I mean, you've paid for the water and the vegetable in the first place, so you might as well use it. And if you don't have a lot of money to go around to buy huge amounts of these dark leafy greens, you can use this technique to sort of stretch them so that they go a little bit further. Now, wintertime is actually the perfect time to be buying kale and collard greens because they are in season in the winter. So they're going to start going on sale at your grocery stores fairly frequently. You're going to notice that they're going to be cheaper than they normally were. At the local grocery store, I've found kale for about 99 cents a pound and collard greens for around the same price. I've managed to find collard greens as low as 59 cents a pound. So it's almost as cheap as cabbage, which is around 50 cents a pound right now where I live. So if you want to sort of have the nutritional punch that those dark leafy green vegetables give you while not spending a huge amount of money, this is the time to go buy them. Go get those dark leafy greens and start cooking them up in whatever way you find workable for yourself. This particular recipe will make about six servings, six comfortable servings anyway. So you want to get about maybe a pound and a half to 2 pounds of collard greens, whatever the size is that your bunch comes in. And you want to get about a cup of red lentils, split peas, split mung beans, or any other kind of like split pea of that sort, because it gives a nice boost to protein and it seems to stretch out the greens a lot further without just adding plain water, which is perfectly fine. You can add plain water, but I feel like when you cook down those split peas or the red lentils down until they're completely disintegrated, it almost provides this kind of creamy texture that will stretch out your other ingredients so that you don't have to spend a lot of money on just adding a lot of coconut milk, which I have no objection to, but I don't have the money for it right now. A can of coconut milk right now, if I get it on sale, is about $1.25. If it's not on sale, it's anywhere up to $2.50 to $3 a can. So I'm not trying to use huge quantities of it right now because it is too expensive for me. So I want to use that cup of red lentils or mung dal or something like that and boil it until it completely falls apart. So you want to do 1 cup of those lentils to 3 cups of water, set it to boil, and once it comes up to a boil, drop down the heat to medium heat and let it boil. While that thing is coming to a boil, go ahead and remove the leaves from the stalks and wash them thoroughly. Do not throw away the stalks. We're going to use the stalks because we're talking about not wasting anything because we can't afford to waste it right now. It's too expensive to waste, especially when you're as broke as I am. Go ahead and take the stalks and chop them up really small with a knife while the leaf parts are soaking. Then take out the leaves from the water and go ahead and rinse off the stalks and let them soak in water. And chop up the leaves as finely as you can. If you don't have a food processor, what you can do is grind them in a blender along with plenty of water and you'll get there, but you're going to end up with a lot of water, which is fine. Just save the water because we're going to use it in the cooking anyway. Essentially, you throw it in the blender. You chop it roughly, like with a knife, and then throw it in your blender with a fair bit of water. The only thing I want you to avoid while you're chopping the greens is chopping them into long strips. What ends up happening is that if you put long strips of greens into your blender, it's going to wrap itself around the blades, and it's not going to want to grind down. It's not going to want to get chopped up very much. So what you really want to do is make sure that you chop them up into like squarish pieces, I guess. You can rip them up by hand too if you want, if your knife is not so great, but I find it easy enough to chop up with a knife. And you can throw the stalks in at the same time as you throw in the leaves. Just give everything a good grinding until it's completely chopped up really finely. If you do it in the food processor, it'll get done very quickly and you'll have a nice mass of greens that you've chopped up. If you do it in the blender, you'll have a nice mass of greens plus lots and lots of water that you had to use to grind them up with. Go ahead and save that water because we're going to use that in the kuta, in the final dish. Now, once your greens are chopped and your dal is cooked, we're going to make a spice blend. And that's going to be a whole bunch of oil. Oil isn't terribly cheap. However, I found that it's not so expensive that I can't afford it. And quite frankly, one of the problems with eating on the cheap is that the calorie count per day can get a little bit low. And if you're like me and can't afford to lose too terribly much weight, you do want to get the fat into you in some way, shape, or form. Now, you can use healthy fats like coconut oil or peanut oil or olive oil, but just bear in mind that you want to make sure that you're using it in quantities that are appropriate for the dish. So rather than putting in like a cup of oil, maybe like 5 or 6 tablespoons should be plenty for this amount of greens and dal and everything else that you've got going. So you put in those 5 or 6 tablespoons into a deep pot. You're going to be using a stock pot for this. Usually if you're cooking greens, I would ask you to use a skillet so that you can saute them and evaporate off most of the water. But in this particular case, you're trying to keep the water in there as much as humanly possible because you don't want to lose any of it. So go ahead and heat up the oil over high heat in your pot and add about a teaspoon of mustard seeds and let them pop, and then add some urad dal if you have it. If you don't, just skip the step and it's fine. Then add some cumin seeds and let them pop a little bit. Maybe add some crushed coriander seeds if you have it. If you have some dried red chilies or red chili flakes, go ahead and throw them in there. If it's whole dried red chilies, what I'll do is that I'll cut them, I'll break them in half and throw them into the oil. And lift the pot off of the heat and swirl it around, because as soon as you add those chilies, it's going to release this really strong chili smell, so you don't want it to like burn your face off. And then if you have it, this would be the time to add some chopped garlic, some chopped ginger, or some chopped onions. Right now, onions are really expensive, so I can't really afford them too terribly much right now, so I'm skipping the onion step. But if you have onions, this would be a great time to add them. Then add a bit of turmeric and saute it along with your garlic, onions, ginger, or all three, or any combination thereof. If you don't have garlic, onions, or ginger, and you still want to make this dish, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Just skip the step with the garlic, onion, and ginger and just keep going. Add the turmeric to the pot, stir it through. Once the turmeric gets fragrant, which is almost instant, go ahead and add your greens along with the water that you use to grind them, and this is perfectly fine, and let it come to a full rushing boil. Once it's come to a full rushing boil, add your split peas or your mung beans or whatever that you've cooked and add that to it and give it a good stir. You're going to end up with a sort of stewy situation, and that's perfectly fine. You want this to be a stewy situation so that you can add it to a bowl of hot rice, and it stretches out your rice as well, because you have plenty of water in there and it tastes just fine. And if you have it, go ahead and add some fresh grated coconut. If you don't have fresh grated coconut, you can use unsweetened desiccated coconut, the dried coconut that they sell in the baking aisle. Just make sure it's unsweetened because you don't really want to add too much sugar to this type of situation. It doesn't taste very good. Add your unsweetened coconut, let it all come to a full boil, and then turn off the heat. At the end, if you have it, you may add some almond milk, some soy milk, or coconut milk, or the canned coconut milk, depending on what you have lying around, to just give it a bit of creaminess. And just let it, let it come to a boil with that milk and then turn off the heat. Serve it over hot rice or serve it as a soup and eat it with some bread or some boiled potatoes. It's really delicious. And this recipe works really well with whatever greens you have lying around. So if you have mustard greens and not collard greens, that's fine. If you have kale and not mustard greens, that's fine. If you have a combination of all three of them, that's fine too. Just use whatever greens you have. I would just suggest that you don't do this recipe with spinach unless you do a different way of cooking them, which is I'm going to go into that right now. So supposing you want to do this with spinach because that's all you could find and that's all that was cheap at your store. Fine, you can do that too. What you want to do is get the spinach and put it into the dal, the cooking split peas or whatever, and let them wilt completely. Then you want to take that and put it in your blender and pulse it a few times. You don't want to grind it and puree the whole thing. You just want to pulse it a few times. And for about 3 pounds of spinach, you want about 1 cup of dal, because you need a lot more spinach than you do dal, than you do need collard greens or kale, because it tends to wilt a lot more and it tends to shrink down a lot more. So go ahead and use like 3 pounds of spinach to 1 cup of the beans cooked in 3 cups of water. Take that mixture and just give it a quick few pulses in the blender or the food processor or whatever you have. And then do your same spice mix like you did last time with the mustard seeds, the cumin seeds, and the coriander seeds and the urad dal if you have them. If you don't have them, skip it. And then go ahead and do the garlic and onion and ginger and whatever else you like if you have it. Then add the spinach and dal mixture to that pot. Let it come to a boil and then, you know, add some coconut milk or almond milk or whatever and stir it through. And it's delicious. And it's just as good as the one that you made with the collard greens or whatever other greens you have. Now, supposing you don't have spinach or collard greens, but you do have Swiss chard. Now, Swiss chard is one of those vegetables that you don't really need to stretch out too terribly much because you're mostly eating the stalks. So rather than treating it like a green, I want you to treat it like a vegetable. So I want you to treat it like green beans or a zucchini or something else like that. So what you do for this situation with the Swiss chard is that you do the mustard seeds and the cumin seeds as you did before. Do the onions and the garlic and the ginger as you did before. Then take the stalks of the Swiss chard and saute them with that whole mix until they're softened. Then add the leaves from the Swiss chard and saute that as well. And then to stretch it out, because the Swiss chard doesn't tend to wilt or break down, you don't want to chop the Swiss chard stalks and the leaves in the food processor or in the blender. You actually want to chop them with a knife. And you can chop them fairly roughly because they're going to behave like a vegetable. They're not going to behave like a tough, stringy kale or collard green stalk. So just chop them with a knife and saute them that way. You want to then use a larger bean to go with it because the pieces of the Swiss chard are larger. So you don't need something that's going to fade into the background. You want something that's going to actually make an impact. So in this particular case, you can add chickpeas or white beans or kidney beans or black beans or whatever other beans that you like. I tend to use canned beans just because it's so easy to just dump in there. If you look for sales, a lot of times you can find the beans for anywhere between 50 cents to 79 cents a can. So, you know, this is one of those times where I'm going to say go ahead and use the canned beans because you kind of do want to have dinner happening sometime this century and you don't want to wait forever for those darn beans to cook. So just go ahead and use the canned ones in this particular case. You just need one can for a pound of Swiss chard. And just saute them all together, you know, in that whole mixture of spices and whatnot, and serve that with rice or whatever else you like to serve it with. If you're making Swiss chard, it's not going to be as soupy or stewy as would the kale or the collard greens or the spinach. So rather than serving it as the only dish, you might want to serve it as a side dish instead and have dal and rice and have that Swiss chard dish as a side, and it'll be lovely. If you can get yourself down to a Chinatown and buy yourself some tofu, there's a couple of really neat things that you can do with that as well. There's a restaurant dish called saag paneer or palak paneer, where it's basically like a cottage cheese that's cut up into cubes and deep fried and then served with some kind of green. I used to do this all the time when I had access to cheap tofu. because it was a good way to get protein into the dish without having to wait for the beans to cook. And it's just, it's a nice change. It's something different from what you would have on a day-to-day basis. So here's a really simple recipe for that. Just like before, you want to chop up your kale or your collard greens in the food processor and chop them up really finely, or do the step where you, like you did with the spinach, just cook them in a little bit of water until they're cooked and then grind them in the blender so that they're, you know, pureed, and set them aside. And then take the tofu, toss it in a little bit of oil and cornstarch or potato starch or tapioca flour or all-purpose flour or whatever flour you have lying around, oil, spices, you know, garlic powder, onion powder, Italian seasoning, whatever you like. It doesn't really matter. Salt, black pepper. Toss them all through and then put them on a cookie sheet and bake them in the oven at 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 180 degrees centigrade for about 30 minutes so that they get crispy on the outside and they kind of puff up a little bit. And while they're baking, you want to do the spice mix. So you want to add coriander seeds and cumin seeds and fry them in the hot oil until they pop. I like to add sesame seeds. If you don't have sesame seeds, don't worry about it. You can use black sesame seeds or white sesame seeds. Whatever you prefer is fine. And just fry them in the oil. Add some turmeric. Add lots and lots of onions that you've chopped up and fry them until they're softened. Add some grated ginger, some grated garlic. Fry them up until they're softened. Add some turmeric and, you know, just let it get fragrant for a bit. Then add your chopped greens and stir fry them for about a minute or two until they take up the flavors. Season with plenty of salt and pepper. And then take the tofu out of the oven and stir it through. The charm of doing the tofu in the oven first rather than deep frying it is that you don't have to use quite as much oil as you would to deep fry. So it's not only cheaper on your oil budget, it's also easier to do because it's basically you park it in the oven and you forget that it exists. You just basically cube the tofu, toss it with some oil and spices and flour, and throw it in the oven until it's crispy. Then when you stir it through with the greens, you're not going to wind up with that situation where the tofu breaks up and becomes crumbly. You actually want the tofu to stay in cubes. So this makes it so that the tofu stays in cubes and it keeps its structural integrity. You want to chop the tofu into fairly small cubes. So I would say like about a half inch to an inch cubed is about the right size. Because that way every spoonful that you get gets a little bite of tofu, gets a little bite of the greens, gets a little bit of the onion and the garlic and the ginger and some spices, gets a little bit of everything, and it's a really nice feeling to have. For 1 pound of tofu, you want about 3 pounds of greens, 3 to 4 pounds of greens, depending on what greens you have. If you're going to use spinach, go ahead and use 4 to 5 pounds of spinach instead of the collard greens. That's fine too. It works just as well. So there's two ways of chopping your greens. Either you want to chop them raw with water when you're making like a stewy type of situation, because you can use that same water that you use to chop them in the blender with to cook them. Or if you want them to be slightly sturdier, steam them really quickly on the stove with some boiling water and then throw it in the blender with a minimum amount of water so that they get chopped up in the blender that way. In either direction, if you're putting it in the blender, you want to make sure that you don't have them in long strips, but you have them in sort of like squarish strips so that they actually do get chopped up and don't choke the blender blade. Otherwise, you're welcome to use the food processor, and that will actually do the best job, whether they're cooked or raw or whatever. It's going to chop it up perfectly with even less water than you would if you tried the blender. And aside from that, if you have the skills to do it with your knife, do it with your knife by all means. I am not going to discourage you to use your knife. It's just I find that I prefer the texture when I chop it up in the blender or in the food processor. I just like that finer texture because then it mixes up with the rice a lot easier. A variation on the kirakuta when you've made the base recipe with the beans and the greens and everything else like that is that you can add some diced up boiled potatoes. It really helps give it a nice texture while you're eating the stew. You can also add some corn or some peas or frozen mixed vegetables, whatever you have. It tastes really great in there because the recipe is fairly forgiving. Pretty much whatever you throw at it is going to taste fine. You can also do the thing where you add some cooked rice and let the entire thing come to a boil over the stove so that the rice almost absorbs the flavor of the greens really quickly and gets slightly mushy. You don't want it to be complete mush, but you want it to be getting slightly, slightly mushy so it's a little bit more comforting on the way in. And of course, if you have them, you can also add some roasted nuts to it. So like you can fry some nuts in some oil before you fry your spices, strain them out and keep them aside. And then at the end, just add the nuts in there. And it's a really nice textural change when you're eating the rice and the greens and everything else. Like that crunchy nuts in there is lovely taste. If you want to add some larger beans like the chickpeas or the white beans or the kidney beans or whatever, this is fine. It's not going to be a problem. Just go ahead and add it and it'll taste just fine. It just depends on what you have lying around and what's on sale at your local store. So hopefully I've given you a couple of ideas as to what to do with all these greens that are coming on sale. Right now, this is also the season for Brussels sprouts. There's a recipe in my book for Brussels sprouts, which are very delicious, but if you don't have the time or the patience to do it on the stove, what you can do is get the Brussels sprouts, take off that bottom hard stem part. You don't need to cut very far. Just shave off a very thin sliver from the bottom so that you expose the soft, tender part. Cut the Brussels sprout into half lengthwise so that you have two equal halves, and do that for the entire amount of Brussels sprouts. Once you've done that for the whole amount of Brussels sprouts, I want you to toss it in either olive oil or canola oil or peanut oil or coconut oil or whatever oil you like, and add some either balsamic vinegar, apple cider vinegar, or something along those lines that's got like a little bit of that sweetness going for it. Rice wine vinegar works just fine. And then toss in some salt and black pepper and red chili flakes or whatever else you like. Toss them all the way through and throw them in the oven at 350 degrees for 30 minutes. Check and see if they're cooked all the way through. If they're not, give them another 15 minutes. And what happens is that the vinegar and the salt and pepper and chilies and everything else like that really bring a really nice flavor to the Brussels sprouts. And they don't get that weird, funky, stinky smell that they get when you boil them. If you roast them, they get almost a kind of sweetness to them that's got a lovely, lovely flavor to go with whatever else you're serving. I find that with Brussels sprouts, I tend not to shred them and put them into small pieces into anything, because if I'm using Brussels sprouts, they're fairly expensive to buy, and I want to make sure that I know that I have Brussels sprouts and that everybody knows that I've made Brussels sprouts. It's a thing that happens. Supposing you have some mushrooms that you found on sale at the store, the white button mushrooms are fine, the portobello mushrooms are fine, whatever you have is fine. You want to just chop them into quarters if they're the white button mushrooms. So you want to cut them in half lengthwise and then cut them in half lengthwise again so that you have four equal size quarters. Toss them in some oil and some salt and black pepper and red chili flakes and throw them into the oven at 350 degrees for 20 minutes. If you notice, whether it's the tofu, the Brussels sprouts, or the mushrooms, they all take about 20 to 25 minutes in the oven. What you can do is you can go to the grocery store and buy all these ingredients, and then at the beginning of the week, just roast everything all at once so that you don't waste the oven heat on just doing one thing. Just do all three of them at the same time and just put them in your fridge so that during the week you'll have interesting additions to add to whatever cheap stuff that you've managed to find at the marketplace. And cook up so that your dinners don't get monotonous. This way you'll have like an arsenal of add-ins for your meals that are coming up over the upcoming week. And it's fairly quick to do. It barely takes a couple of minutes to toss them in these ingredients and throw them in the oven. So it's just a question of, getting the ingredients and washing them up and, chopping them up into the pieces that you want and then dumping them in the oven and forgetting about them until they're done. So, okay, so supposing you've roasted the mushrooms until they're nice and cooked, and they have that nice, like, brown parts on them. You can add that to your greens. You can add it to your spinach. You can add it to another soup or stew that you're making, and it's perfectly valid. Tastes really great, and it just gives it a different dimension of flavor. So maybe rather than doing just one big dish of those greens, maybe what you can do is cook off a whole bunch of your greens at the same time, you know, pour boiling water over it and let them wilt down, and then grind them in the blender to cook them, strain out the water and keep that separately as your veggie stock to add to different applications. Keep your cooked greens in the fridge, keep your cooked tofu and mushrooms and Brussels sprouts and whatever else you have in the fridge. And then during the week, just combine them in different ways. So maybe do one night the greens and the tofu. One night you do the greens and the mushroom. One night you do just the Brussels sprouts. One night you do spinach all by itself. One night you do spinach and canned beans. The possibilities are endless if you start sort of setting yourself up for success at the beginning of the week when you have time, and then making it so that during the week you just have to throw together something really quickly. Because if you even want to do like a large batch of the flavor mixture, the spice mixture, at the beginning of the week, that's perfectly valid too. So like get a 3-pound bag of onions, chop them up, get a couple of heads of garlic, chop that up, get a big knob of ginger, grate it up, and do a large quantity of oil, like do like a half a cup of oil, and add like a tablespoon or so of the mustard seeds, a tablespoon or so of the cumin seeds, pop them, do the thing, add your onions and saute them until they're softened, add the garlic and the ginger, saute them, add some turmeric, cook it all down, and let it cook until it's just softened. Don't wait until they get browned or anything, because you don't want it to evaporate off into nothing. You want to have enough that you can actually use it. So now you have a spice blend. So basically, during the week, all you need to do is take your chopped greens and add, like, you know, a few heaping spoonfuls of your spice blend. Add whatever mix in you like, whether it's canned beans or your tofu or your mushrooms or whatever else you have lying around, or your potatoes or whatever. Throw them all together, toss them together in a microwave safe bowl, and then microwave it for 5 minutes while you're putting a pot of rice on the rice cooker. You'll have something varied and different, and it will take you absolutely no time at all, because you can just cook it up in a few minutes in the microwave. And that way, you don't get bored of the same meals over and over again. If you decide that you want to do a keto kuta, you can do it in a couple of minutes, because then you just add the cooked beans to the greens and add some of that stock that you strained out after grinding down the greens. Add your spice blend to that, throw it in the microwave for 6 minutes, and you're done. And you've got a different and interesting dinner in the middle of the week. And then you didn't have to worry about, like, oh, what am I going to cook? Because you have, like, 5-6 different options in your fridge waiting and ready for you. You can use pantry staples like your canned beans, and it works perfectly fine. The basic point is to set yourself up so that you can do a couple of things over the week to keep things interesting, even though you're technically using the same ingredients over and over again. It's going to taste different. And, you know, when you take it out of the microwave, you can stir in some almond milk or coconut milk to make it creamy. You can leave it alone if you want. You can add more, like, chopped chilies if you want. You can add more black pepper. Like, you can do whatever you want to flavor it up to your liking. If you want the tofu and greens mixture to have a more North Indian taste, add a little bit of olive oil on top when it's done cooking, and add some garam masala while it's still hot, and stir it through, and it's got a more North Indian flavor. And before I get the angry emails from the North Indians, I know it's not technically authentic, but I'm trying to get them to use our spices so that, you know, they start exploring a little more. And then maybe someday we can get further than that. Either way, I want you guys to let me know what's going on with your lives and email me, and hope you're all doing well and staying warm and eating well. All right, take care, guys. Email me altveg, altveg@me.com. Thank you so much. Bye.